There we go. All right, so liaison report. We've had 3 city council meetings, I think, since our last planning commission meeting, since we didn't have our meeting in November because of Veterans Day. And there's just a few items to report on. One is a plat amendment. This is a minor plat amendment, so the planning commission didn't see this one. Alpen and Hop Estates Plat E. So this is just on the west side of Homestead Drive. So Homestead Drive's over here. This is Swiss Alpine Road, and so it's down in Alpenhof. And the property owner here owned two lots and has 2 homes, actually. And so it's just adjusting the lot line between the 2 properties, really very minor in the scheme of things. And it was just to create some more space for around the bigger home to the north. So the adjustment gave it a little bit more space. Still, all code requirements were met with that for frontage, acreage, and width. So that got approved by the city council. Next one is the transient rental overlay district expansion, so a zone map amendment. This is one that the planning commission will recognize as the property just south of Harvest. What they're asking for was to be located in the trod, which would allow for a short-term rental or nightly rental. So basically taking this property here and extending that blue line to the south to encompass it. And so that one, we did have a public hearing. There were comments really on both sides, and the city council in the end did approve the extension of the trod. And so that now is in the trod. So the next step for them is to apply for a conditional use permit. So that'll probably be on your agenda in January.
Out of curiosity, why does the city council keep overruling our recommendations on expanding the trod when it goes against the Midway City General Plan?
So I think that part of it, from what the discussion was, is when the public hearing happened, there was some pictures that were shown and different things of the impact on this property, since it's right next to the commercial being Harvest right now. So the dumpster's right there, the parking lot's right there. So the thought is they are impacted quite a bit by the commercial zone, and so that was part of it. There are also comments from at least one neighbor in support of it, and I think that had some sway on the city council, that public comment period. There were comments against it also, as we had the public hearing, but there were less that showed up to make public comment before city council as compared to what you heard before planning commission. So I don't know if that's going to answer your question, but that's some of the items that I remembered from that.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Next item is we have revamped the short-term rental code comprehensively. Now, this code is actually not in Title 16, so the Planning Commission sees everything in Title 16. This falls in our business licensing section of the code, and so for that reason it doesn't come before the Planning Commission. Anything that's not Title 16 just goes directly to City Council, but I feel like this is something that it's good for the Planning Commission to be aware of. And so we revamped the code. Basically, Midway was one of the first communities in Utah to adopt a short-term rental code. We're one of the pioneers in that, and we adopted ours back in 2006. Or so, and actually quite a few communities have taken our code and developed their own code out of it. But we have learned a few things over time. Also, state law has changed, so we've had to adjust with the times, and we've had quite a bit of experience through the past 10 plus years or so with this. And so using that experience and also just learning from other communities, we proposed some changes to our code. I do have a fairly comprehensive list here. So I'll just try to hit on some of the highlights, but one thing our code did do that it was really kind of a strict requirement that didn't make a lot of sense really, was somebody, if they were going to rent a home, it had to be at least for 48 hours, which was kind of strange, very difficult to administer, to be honest, to police. And so that was taken out of the ordinance, so now somebody could just rent a home for a night. Requiring the owner or property manager to provide information of all occupants on request. So if we ever have any zoning type issues, any enforcement issues, we want to make sure we can get all the information we need. Property manager must respond to all complaints within an hour, so that's been put into the code now. require proof of all taxes have been paid for the license renewal. So we go through a renewal process in December and January of each year. We want to make sure that those transient taxes are coming to the city. Also, joint liability of the owner and the property manager for any violations of the ordinance. So both are liable if there's a problem. Also, units in residential zones with shared driveways and common walls must have written consent from the neighbors to apply for a transient rental unit license. Written consent must be recorded. So if there are double units like up in Turnberry, the Cantons, really the next door neighbor has a shared driveway or the shared wall could veto that, is what it comes down to, because there could be a lot of complications if the neighbor's not on board with having a rental next to them with a shared driveway or shared wall. And so that is only in the residential zones. If it's in the commercial resort zones, it doesn't require a neighbor sign off. Those zones are set up for nightly rentals. Require posted information on the exterior of the property with a sign containing the name and 24-hour per day, 365 day per year, telephone number of the property manager responsible for receiving and resolving complaints. So it actually has to be a plaque, an information plaque on the unit, not advertising on the road, but actually on the unit. And if there is a problem, any neighbor can find out who the property manager is. Right now, if they don't know that information beforehand, they don't know who to call. And we don't want the sheriff's department, the police department being called for issues. We want the property manager to take care of those issues. So that's one thing that we saw in other codes, and we proposed that to the council and was adopted into the city code. Required posted within the transient rental unit the following information. And so this helps if law enforcement does need to show up to a property or just information for those renting the property. A copy of the vacation rental business license, the name, address, telephone number of the property manager, location of all fire extinguishers, a list of all rules applicable to vacation rentals. So there's a limit of up to 14 people per night in a unit. If it's a smaller unit, they get less than 14. There's a limit how many cars can be parked out in the driveway. So all of that would be posted on here so they know exactly what the rules are. Maximum occupancy. Then the water, gas, and power emergency shutoff location. So all of that would be available if there's an emergency. So advertising must comply with provisions of the code and cannot advertise more beds than the number of people approved to stay overnight in the unit. This is a real problem. We have people who are approved, but then they're advertising. They'll show more beds than how many people are allowed in the unit, and it just invites people to bring huge groups into a home where it's not allowed for that. We can't really shut down advertising directly. State code has limited what we can do there. We've tried.
Right, but we can fine.
We can fine, that is for sure. But interestingly enough, if we see a unit that's not licensed with the city and they're advertising, we can't actually go after that unit just because of their advertising. We have to have a second evidence of them doing something illegal. And so we're tied, our hands are tied a little bit that way also, so that's kind of an interesting caveat with state code. There is a transient rental lobby unit out, or lobby group out there is kind of what it comes down to. If a property is licensed as a transient rental unit, then the requirements of the code are in effect for the property, regardless of whether the property is occupied by the owner, non-paying guests of the owner, or paying guests of the owner. So what happens is we'll have a problem. And I've actually done this myself. I've gone and knocked on the door, and we know it's a nightly rental, but they'll be trained to tell us that they're friends of the family and they're staying there, that type of thing. And so this way, if somebody is doing a nightly rental, they're all in. They can't say for this weekend it's our family and for the next one it's a nightly rental. They have to follow the rules year round with this requirement. So can't choose one or the other every other weekend. A party that has lost the license may reapply for a new license after a period of 6 months.
One year.
That got, mm-hmm. Yeah, this is before the last amendment.
Yeah, so 1 year.
Yeah, that got changed to 1 year. And now, after two violations, it's possible for that license to be revoked. So, and those two violations could happen in one night. So, property manager's address shall not be the same as the transient rental unit's address. So that was a problem in the past. This is the last page here.
Property. This changed as well.
Yeah, a property manager must have a Midway business license. So that's, they still need to get a business license with us, but they don't have to have a physical location within Midway. And it's not restricted anymore to the C2 and C3 and resort zones. In the past, before everybody could check in with a phone, the idea was you'd show up to a desk somewhere and you'd be checked in. That's wayside now. It doesn't happen any longer. And then we discussed requiring them to be just in Midway city limits, whoever that property manager is. After a bit of discussion, we decided to expand that out to all of Wasatch County. So that property manager is still close. They still have to be licensed with the city. They don't actually have their physical location within Midway city limits, is the idea with that. Each time a property manager accepts a new unit, they have to update their list with the city. Defining a rental unit as entire dwelling and property. So that was implied before, but we wanted to make it very clear that the owner can't stay in one part of the house and rent the other part of the house, for instance, or rent their barn, that has some living space in it. Again, that was implied before, but it's directly stated now. Allowing a transient rental unit is a permitted use in all zones if in the trod. So now it's permitted, just as in the commercial zone. So we just make sure that all the rules are met. In-person check-in and check-out of the units has been removed, and then we've got more teeth in the code regarding enforcement provisions. So that's the main changes to the code. But I feel like it's a really good code, and we're going to stick to it and make sure it's enforced. So, any questions on this code amendment that was approved? Okay. And one thing, this is just a preview for something that's coming up. So we've been discussing commercial zones before the city council, going back over a year, actually. We had a field trip at one point. We started discussing the uses. The pause button was hit about halfway through last year. But this is an item that's going to come before Planning Commission, probably starting in January is what will happen. But we've got in our general plan a chapter that talks about the commercial zones or Main Street. And it describes it as a distinctive shopping and business area, emphasizing it as an attractive meeting place and staging area for festivals, special events, celebrations, and a variety of community activities, which will produce a vibrant and healthy community centerpiece. That's just a snippet from our general plan, but that's what we're trying to do with our commercial area. I think that in a lot of ways we've become very successful with that, so something to consider. But we're going to be looking at the C2 and C3 zones, and just very briefly, the C2 zone has uses that include like gas stations and car washes, and the C3 zone doesn't have that. So this is more of it's a more restrictive area around the town square on what uses are allowed. And then the C2 zone is a little bit looser regarding those uses. So one thing we're looking at is does the C3, should that expand, for instance? Should that take an area south of Main Street on the south side of the town square? So that's a discussion item. And then the actual uses themselves in each of the two zones. And in my time here at the city, this is the third time we've gone through this process, and it keeps evolving over time. So we're going to have this discussion again in January. But kind of the idea is our code right now would allow something very similar to what we see in Park City. Now, the front setback has a 10-foot, so it's a little bit farther off the sidewalk. But we really like what's happened across the street. We have to thank Travis for that, because Travis was a big part of Springer. So Haven is just a really nice building over there. It's part of Springer Farms. And from initial discussions with the city council, it looks like we would add setbacks that would really make it so we'd see more of this type of development up and down Main Street than this type of development down here. So more of a rural yet still walkable Main Street is kind of the idea with that. That's kind of the main thing, is what do we want our Main Street to look like, our commercial zones to look like? You know, bottom right or upper left is the debate there. And kind of what that looks like is we'll go through and take a look at all the uses. And these ones are ones that have been redlined at this point. So we're looking at some big changes, I guess you could say, regarding uses up and down Main Street. Some more restrictions on what we want to have on the ground level. For instance, would we want rental units on the ground level instead of retail or restaurant? Better planning practice would show that we'd rather have things that are more active and vibrant on our main, right off the sidewalk along our main street. So changes like that is what's being proposed. So this is just one example of quite a few different pages in the code. But so that's coming for January for the Planning Commission. All right, that's the liaison report for December.
Thank you, Michael. To continue our meeting, Laura will offer an invocation, after which, if you'd please, stand and join me in reciting the Pledge of Allegiance.
Our Father in Heaven, we are grateful to be met here this evening as a Planning Commission. We're thankful for the beautiful town of Midway that we live in. We're most grateful for this wonderful season of the year. Please bless us this evening that our thoughts and minds will be clear, that we will be able to think about all of the proposals that have been before us, that we will act in the best interest of our Midway community and its citizens. We give thanks to thee for all of the freedoms that we have here in the United States of America. And we say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. First item on our agenda this evening is to review and possibly approve the Planning Commission meeting minutes of October 14th, 2025. Melissa, I don't know of any corrections.
No, not that I know of.
Mm-hmm. I just had a question, and maybe I just, there was that issue where the Planning Commission had rejected the TROD unanimously, but then when it came before the City Council, the agenda indicated that this Planning Commission had recommended it and approved it, and so they had to kind of, you know, out of that. And I just was curious, and it's just maybe more because I'm inexperienced and new, but it was so, I just wanted to be sure I understand when I'm voting that it's, you know, it said that the TROD had recommended denial, and the ayes were unanimous, and the motion passed. And then for the Zermatt, it was recommended approval, and the ayes were unanimous, and the motion passed. So it's, when we say it's passed, I mean, it's probably just splitting hairs, but I didn't know if that, if it, you know, it's like, is it a double negative when you recommend a denial, but we all vote yes, even though we're denying. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? So I didn't know if
I don't think that was the cause. I think it was a transmission error between Brad sets the agenda, we tell him what the issue was. I think it was a breakdown somewhere along there.
Okay.
It was brought to our attention before, which is great, and we did correct it to City Council before anything started, but you're right, it did come up. It is exactly the opposite of what the motion was.
Okay.
It was stressed that what the correct one was.
And the staff report actually listed word for word the motion from the Planning Commission. It said very clearly that it was recommended for denial. So embedded in the staff report word for word what your motion was. It was just that agenda that was confusing, and we did clear that up in the meeting. We stated that directly. So,
but we will try to be more careful about agenda items.
Yeah, no, that's fine, because I remember that, but I just was curious. So like when you say you're recommending denial, but we vote aye, that just means we're all
agreeing
to deny it.
Okay.
That
was my question. Yes. That probably took a long time to
answer. No, it's a good question, because there's a lot of double negatives in there.
Yes.
Thanks.
Any other questions or comments on the meeting minutes of October 14th? Is there a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion that we approve the meeting minutes of October 14th, 2025.
There a second?
Second.
Motion by Laura, second by Craig. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that is unanimous. With my election to the City Council, I will be resigning from the Planning Commission effective at the end of this month, and as a result, we'll need to elect a new chair and a vice chair.
Currently, Kelly is our vice chair, so what the request is to first vote on a chair that will serve from now until June. June is typically when we go ahead and vote for the chair and vice chair. Is there anyone that does not want to be considered for the chair? Andrew?
You can't, Sue Ellen, sorry. You're an alternate.
So Craig, Janine, Travis, Andrew. Kelly and Laura. So everyone, Sue Ellen, you will also vote on this. You cannot be nominated to be the chair or vice chair. With my vacancy, there will be a full planning commission member appointment in the near future. So Melissa, if you want to go ahead and, anyone's free game, but.
Yeah, even, Kim is a,
Kim's an alternate as well,
Sometimes those who are not here get elected.
Unless you want to work out between yourselves who wants to hold which office.
First round is chair.
Is for the chair. Yeah, and then Andy will vote also on this, so.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Congratulations, Laura. So 5-3 vote.
Kelly, are you happy staying as vice chair?
Sure.
We don't really need to do a second.
Sure. Okay.
She could remain, right?
Is there anyone else who wants to be considered for vice chair?
Do you want to do another one?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to take another vote to make my
Is there anyone that does not want to be considered for vice chair?
Well, you're saying because she hasn't finished the term.
She hasn't finished her term, We don't have a vacancy
in
that.
That's not in bylaws, but
So.
Okay, so let's just, if there's no one else that wants to serve and Kelly is willing to serve, are we willing to do this by unanimous consent?
This is just to,
All those in favor of Kelly serving, remaining as vice chair?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Okay. Awesome.
There you go.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Okay.
Let's hear your speech.
I will be your TR next year.
The next item on the agenda is the 2026 calendar meeting schedule. I don't know if anyone has any conflicts with any of those dates.
So, hey Michael, should we do a motion to confirm?
Michael, do you have a
calendar
you can show?
Okay.
You know, I do not have one up. I've got a hard copy for you.
What are the dates you're going to cancel?
The second Tuesday every month.
No dates are canceled.
What?
Yeah. None are canceled.
Well, 12, it doesn't mean that it won't be eventually.
Yeah.
But.
There's 12 planned right now.
All
right. Yep. Does anyone have any issues with the dates presented?
That is later than sometimes.
First Monday.
So it's not. Right.
Is there a motion to approve the calendar for 2026?
I'll make a motion we approve the calendar for 2026.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion by Andrew, second by Janine. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the next item on the agenda, Berg Engineering, agent for the Homestead Group LLC, is proposing a code text amendment of the Midway Land Use Code 16-15-040-D-11.C. The proposal is to reduce the setback to 10 foot for structures and resort master plans next to dedicated golf course open space. For structures and resort master plans next to a dedicated open space.
Yeah. All right, thank you, Chairman Garland, members of the Planning Commission, members of the public. So the city's received an application to amend a section of Title 16. So this is specific to resort master plans dedicated next to dedicated golf course open space. So our current code states, setbacks along the peripheral property lines of resorts shall be a minimum of 100 feet. For structures located within 120 foot peripheral property line, and this goes into a lot of detail, the main line is the top one. Setbacks along the peripheral property lines of resorts shall be a minimum of 100 feet. So right now, if there's a new resort proposed, they need to have a 100 foot setback on their peripheral property line. So not any property lines within that master plan, but on the peripheral property line of the master plan resort areas. The homestead was vested under a code back in, it was approved in 2008 or so. Back then the code was a 30-foot setback. And so the structures within the homestead master plan are 30 feet. So it's much less than the 100 feet that we have now in our current code. And so that just kind of gives you a baseline for what's happening at the homestead. What's being asked for is to reduce down to 10 feet under certain circumstances. And this would be the proposed language. Setbacks along the peripheral property lines of a resort shall be a minimum of 100 feet, so that would remain the same, except for structures in a resort master plan that are adjacent to dedicated golf course open space parcels. Structures next to dedicated golf course open space parcels may have a minimum setback of 10 feet to the peripheral property line. This setback will allow for public utility easements. Then the rest of that code remains the same. So this language is tailored pretty tight. Matter of fact, there's not too many resort master plans in Midway. We've got Amiali, we've got also Zermatt, and we have the Homestead. Those are the only ones that exist. Amiali and also Zermatt do not touch the golf course. So the only one that it actually affects is just the Homestead. And dedicated golf course open space, not all of the golf course actually has dedicated golf course open space. There's property property owners. There's a golf course on private property that isn't actually dedicated as open space, but a lot of it is. And it's usually dedicated as open space if it's within a plat. And so all of the developments around the golf course that have dedicated plats would meet this requirement. So I'm actually going to go to the next map real quick. So this shows the homestead core area. And then these colored parcels are pieces of property that are owned by the homestead. And so these areas are actually dedicated golf course open space areas in a plat. The purple actually is not that right now, but the blue is up Turnberry. And then we also have platted subdivisions around the homestead, such as the Cantons. The Cantons actually owns this open space peninsula that juts up into the resort area.
The links.
The Cantons is up here. So this purple area actually isn't dedicated as open space right now, so this wouldn't apply. We do have other developments such as Midway Village right here. Part of their property is dedicated open space for golf course. We have Swiss Creek down in this area here, Mountain Springs. These are the ones that they're next to the homestead, and what's colored except for the purple is in the master plan area. This area here is dedicated open space and it's golf course. Same with over here. If you look at the resort master plan for the homestead, there's actually only a few structures that could take advantage of this code. There's four single family homes right here that could. Potentially these cottage units up here could. The future spa could. This is under construction already, so it would not apply.
But these homes down in the lower part have not, are they under construction?
They're not under construction. No, that plat needs to be finalized and it will come before the Planning Commission in the future.
Yeah, the master plan has decided what where those will generally be. It will also, the master plan also dictates how many units there are, but they do need to come back and finalize those plans for that section of the homestead. So again, this is tailored very tightly to, I'd say, seven buildings could take advantage of this code text amendment, and one of them's already under construction, so that would not, unless they expand that building in the future.
So really what we're talking about is making an except, or if this is approved, is for these freestanding homes.
Yeah, these four here, these cottage units could take advantage of it. It's possible the spa could, because this is dedicated golf course over here next to the spa.
So since we're being asked, I assume that's the intent of this, right? It's not, they could, they will. That's what they're asking, what you're asking for.
That's the purpose of the request.
You're dealing with some grades on those. Moving them back a little bit allows for a little more deal with the slope that we're coming off that road. So that road, to your point, that cul-de-sac is curb and gutters down, the last fault in the spring. So that construction has started, but the homes aren't designed, to Michael's point. But the purpose is to move them back down a little bit, more driveway. The footprints stay the same. We're dealing with some slope issues down on that lower end. So moving away from the road helps.
What's a stagger to...
It also lets us stagger the rear setbacks to kind of help with views. So if the lowest one is pushed all the way and then the next one not so much, and that helps with that. The other thing it would help with, once we get far enough along on the spa, is there's also the Snake Creek floodplain that runs through there. So you're squished on the west side with the floodplain. So if we could move it a little bit to the east, that would probably help that building.
So Paul, you have the lower four. Definitely, we'll move. The goal is to move those back.
Yeah.
What about the other two, three?
So the third one, just off the cul-de-sac, it couldn't be because on the east side, it's not golf course open space. It's another development.
Okay, so it's anything that's on that.
But likely the other two units, which are the golf cottages, they would see some adjustment similar to the four below.
Yeah, this unit here would have to maintain the 30-foot setback from both property lines, since it's not next to dedicated golf course open area. And this building doesn't exist now. This has been moved up to this spot here.
So other than that very bottom unit, there's no homes? Is there a home in that bottom? I wish I had a point.
The closest home is right here.
Are you talking about this one?
Yeah, so the closest home off-site in the Links is right here. There's some other homes down in this area, and then there's a row of homes over on this side.
But again, and it wouldn't go this way. That's no. 10 to 30 feet. It would only go that way.
Right. Okay.
And will those structures nest into the hillside a little bit deeper, or will they raise up higher, causing maybe some blockage for sight lines and things?
Yeah, it'll still be below the golf course a little bit.
But instead of digging it as much into a hole to make it happen, if we were at the 30-foot setback, now the driveway can take up some of the grade and they don't sit in a hole as much. It'll be closer to the grade.
And the center of the green is 140. From what's being requested, you're 140 feet, even with the adjustment to the center of the green, and then probably that you're probably, 250 feet or 300 feet to the other side there. So I think those that hear this would know it changed, but if just to the naked eye, you wouldn't know that, because they are going to stagger. You're only moving back 20 feet, then 15, then 10. Really, just because the road grade adjusts as well, so we don't need the adjustment as much as we move north.
If we approve this, is there any other place in the resort that future homes could use this same rule for not as big a setback?
So
everything's built out, isn't it?
Yeah, there are not other spots in town right now that could use this code. So
I think she's asking in the homestead.
In the homestead?
Yeah.
So with the current master plan, those are the units that are approved right now.
Okay.
So
could they
come in and apply for not even necessarily a master plan amendment, but they need to go need to go through preliminary and final approval if they want to adjust things. It's possible they could ask for more buildings in the future. That's correct. Now, some areas are dedicated open space, and the open space comes down into this area right here. And so there's not going to be units here, and this is all dedicated open space up in this area here. So not including this building, right in this area here. It's really limited, to be honest, on which buildings could use that. On this site, it would actually meet the requirements, but this is built out at this point along this line. So.
It doesn't work up in Lime Canyon. There's a little sliver after Turnberry. There's spaces between the Turnberry.
So Lime Canyon, this is all dedicated open space now. The rest of the golf course isn't in the master plan, and so it wouldn't qualify.
Okay.
Answer on that. I'll stand at the mic, Michael.
Please state your name and
you bet. Ben Shakespeare, representing the homestead. That piece up there on the north, that's currently going into a conservation easement per the, so that it's open space now. We ran into a small hiccup with just financing. Our financing encumbers that, so we've got to get that removed to do that. But that process has already started in that application. So everything on Upline Canyon, that'll all be in a conservation easement.
Thank you.
So, points of discussion. The language limits the locations where the code can be used, so it's tailored pretty tightly here. So the structure must be in the resort master plan. So again, there's not very many resort master plans. There's only one next to golf course in town right now. Structure must be next to dedicated golf course open space. And a 10-foot setback allows for the standard 10-foot public utility easement. Could structures be larger because of this? Yeah, they could be larger. Obviously, if there's a lesser setback, it's possible those structures could be bigger. This does allow some flexibility for the developer. And then there are some possible findings for the Planning Commission to consider. These first findings would be in support of the proposed code text amendment. First one, the proposal would allow for a 10-foot setback in specific circumstances. Structures would need to be in a resort master plan. Structures would need to be next to dedicated golf course open space. Structures next to golf course property that is not dedicated open space would not be allowed a 10-foot setback. And the last one, the decreased setback will allow for greater flexibility when designing resort structures. Findings against. Proposal would decrease setbacks around dedicated golf course parcels for structures and resort master plans. And then the last one, the proposal would allow for larger structures in some cases. So that is staff's presentation. I'm happy to take any questions the Planning Commission has. We do have this scheduled for a public hearing tonight.
Any other questions before we open the public hearing?
Is there a way to approve this or run this some other way where it's an approval of these seven lots and nothing beyond that?
So there's not a real good way to do that. You couldn't do a variance because a variance can be a self-imposed hardship, so that's not really an option. Possibly a master plan amendment. I don't think we could violate our own code, and so that's not really an option. Mm-hmm. The only thing I could think of, and I'm not sure we want to really go down this road, is a legislative development agreement. That's basically how the LDS temple was approved over in the county that's currently in the lawsuit. And that's basically where you do a negotiation between the developer and the city, specifically for a site. But we haven't ever done that, and do we want to start that? As soon as we start doing that, where does it end? So I think I'd be hesitant to suggest that route, but this is tailored pretty tightly to where it's only this spot that can use this code right now. Yes, one route two is, I don't know if this is a great option either, but it is legal to approve it and then come back a few months later and take it out of the code, and so it can never be used again. So they'd have to apply for their building permits at that point to be vested with it, but that's an option.
Laura, did you have something?
No, I was just wondering, is there a way to put a note in there that the structure cannot be increased in size because they were granted the additional setback so that it's not taking up more space.
How do you do a condition on code text like that?
Do they have square footage yet planned for those homes and the spa or a footprint?
And so the thing that we have control over is when they come in for preliminary and final approval for that section, that plat. So that would be the way to do it.
Yeah, I understand where Michael's concern is on this from writing a code standpoint, but the homestead is not looking to increase the square footage. We want the flexibility in the setbacks.
Okay, not bigger homes.
Not bigger homes. And the homes would be the same size as what you see. It's just they'd be staggered in the back and we'd have longer driveways now because we don't have 30-foot setbacks.
And those homes are not primary residence. They're part of the rental pool. It's a different...
So in the master...
There's a little bit of debate about that, right?
Yeah, there was an amendment back in 2009 that stated specifically that those four homes are... They're only single-family homes. They're not rentals. So in order for that to change, there'd have to be an amendment to the master plan.
But the last time we went through the resort process, we thought they were resort properties that could be rented. So Michael found this amendment from 2009
that we're going to work through. Yes, that's what I understood it to be, too.
Yeah. Just came out of nowhere all of a sudden a few weeks ago.
Well, it's been there since 2009.
It's been there for a
Thank you, Council.
But... But I understand it wasn't talked about until recently. So.
All right. But thank you for the correction.
Yeah, anytime, Paul.
It's always great to have an attorney on staff.
I know, right?
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. We're okay. Always appreciated.
I have a question. Is there any, does anyone have a sense for what happens when you eliminate some of that distance from a home on a fairway? Just knowing with personal experience living near the golf course, we get a lot of balls. We live in a place where if you'd be wondering how on earth we get golf balls down in our front driveway. So I'm just wondering, I do golf and I'm thinking that's a long drive. Knowing what I see on the golf course, that I just didn't know if 20 feet might be beneficial for the
home. The 20 feet won't make a difference between whether you're in the danger zone or not in the danger zone when you look at the shot analysis.
And this is a par 3. Yeah.
And this is a par 3 hole, yeah, not a par 4.
Like so that's not considered a factor?
Yeah, no,
it is considered a factor, but I'm saying 20 feet is not going to
make for our purposes tonight, someone's handicap is not coming to play whether we're going to approve it.
But it's a good point.
So just to be clear, are you looking at 20 feet that you want to move the houses back? What's the difference?
The bottom, so there's a 30-foot setback, we would reduce to 20, so the lowest unit would move 20 feet to the west. The next one up would probably move 15 feet to the west and so forth.
Stagger, 20 feet.
You release, you'll decrease it to 10. That's what you're asking.
For the very bottom.
From the
10.
At the closest.
Yep. So again, the purpose of setbacks... I'll just make my presentation while I'm up here. Purpose of setbacks is to provide protection to the neighbor. If the neighbor is open space, who are we really protecting? And the second purpose is to provide corridors for utilities, which we're maintaining with the 10 feet. So we don't see this as an impact on the golf course or on golf course open space, but allows some flexibility for resort products is recommended in your general plan to just help them fit better with the land, be a little nicer as it approaches this open space and gives a better product. We also think the longer driveways will help with some of the issues in this area too, mostly parking. Okay,
there will be
you.
A bit of an effect from the people who drive on that section of road for the links. I mean, the setback, sure, if it's open space, you feel like, oh, the setback is really not that big of a deal, but it does create a wider view corridor looking down if you're living in that community. And because right now they're used to having complete, open space with no homes, and so then those homes will go in and that just shrink their view corridor. And
by 20 feet.
Yeah, it's 20 feet. 20 feet goes away, you never get it back. I'm just making the comment.
Yeah, and I'm trying to say that it's only 20 feet. It's not a big, huge visual impact. You and I may differ on that, but it's 20 feet. Thanks.
Thank you, Paul. Okay, any other questions or discussion from the Planning Commission before you open the public hearing, Craig?
Yeah, I think an ancillary effect of setbacks is not just distance to neighbors or courtesy to neighbors. Another side effect of setbacks, front, rear, and side, is creating green space. And it is creating view corridors. And I think that this is a significant reduction from 30 feet to 10 feet. And it's already a significant offset from our 100 feet every place else. I have a problem with that. I think 30 feet is a minimum. Shouldn't be dropped down to 10 feet. I think that that open view corridor from the south to the north and vice versa, decreasing the green space across a golf course from west to east in any dimension is a slow degradation of green space and open space. And that's what the city promotes, green space and open space. So I'm not going to vote in favor of a reduction from 30 to 10.
Any other comments? Okay, let's go ahead and open the public hearing. If anyone here, I don't know if we have anyone online that would like to speak to this issue. If you'd like to speak, please come to the microphone and state your name and address. Anyone online?
Well, there's online, but no hands.
Anyone in the audience wish to be heard? We'll go ahead and close the public hearing. Thoughts from the Planning Commission? Does anyone want to make a motion, a recommendation?
I just have a comment. I think valid point. I like the where you're at there with your thinking. I'm just trying to wrap my head around who's to lose on their own private golf course. It's the people for the golf course. I mean, I know there are some adjacent homes, but they're quite. I mean, what is the distance to those closest homes on that other side? Michael, I mean, that's got to be all the way across. Well,
yeah. So these ones over here.
Right, because there's no homes to the south.
Which right to the south?
Yeah, that's, and then there's some homes down in this
so
area.
So that's the closest house?
Mm. There's a home here, and then there's kind of the golf course comes through the middle, and then there's a home over on this side here. So there's this open area right there.
Mm-hmm. How about to the right?
Yeah.
So on this side here?
Yeah, down in there. Where are the homes? Where do they sit there?
Yeah, so there's a home right here. And there is another one up here, right there.
And there's one down at the bottom, too, right on that corner. Yeah,
yeah, so, I mean, from this side, you're moving farther away mm-hmm. down on this side. But this side, it would be decrease.
That's why I asked. I mean, you're talking about decreasing green space on their own property and increasing open space on the neighbor's property in a way. I mean, you know what I mean? If you move something 20 feet one direction, it opens up the front of the house by 20 feet, and it closes the back of the house by 20 feet. And in the back here, it's their own property. So my thought is, yeah, I personally would support this.
So what happens if it doesn't, if this doesn't pass, what happens?
Yeah,
the houses
just
still go in, but they just go in
30 feet from the property line.
It's just per that plan.
So we would be making a recommendation to the city council for the city council to make the decision. Sir, I know we've closed the public hearing, but if you'd like to come and make a comment.
Well, this gentleman was speaking.
If you want to come up to the microphone and state your name, that would be great.
Gary Gorga, 620 St. Andrews Drive. The back of my house looks at the south border of the links. I just want to go back to what that gentleman was talking about. If you open up the front, you close the back. I just want to point out so everyone on the planning board realizes that property, the golf course, is owned by the Lynx HOA.
You live here?
No, I live over there.
Over here somewhere. Right, I think it's right up here.
The south, right by the south border. I'm lucky I got the parking lot behind me.
Down right in here somewhere.
So I just want to point out, I thought you sound like you were saying they're moving closer to their own land.
I did say that.
Right. It's not their land. The Lynx owns this land. They're using it under a permanent golf course easement.
So this area here.
So the Lynx owns this.
Yes.
And I think what Travis was saying, this, they're moving just further back.
Yes. I just want to make sure everyone on the planning board knows that it's a permanent golf course easement. And it has a clause in there that says if the golf course ever closes for 2 years, other than renovations, then the golf course permanent easement is terminated. Therefore, the Lynx owns their land again. It's our open space. That's why we own it. The developer bought it for open space to get the approval. So the land could theoretically come back into the hands of the Lynx. So they're not getting closer to their land. They're getting closer to the Lynx that they have an easement on with conditions. Okay?
That's good information.
Yeah, that helps a lot.
Thank you.
So it would no longer be a golf course either, so.
Yeah,
it would be in
still permanent open space.
It's permanent. Part of permanent open space is very restricted what could happen on that property. Basically, just amenities could be there. In the code, it lists clubhouses and tennis courts, those types of things.
But the code text amendment, I thought, delineated it, restricted it to be only on golf course open space.
Yeah, so that's dedicated golf course open space right now. Yeah.
But if something were to happen, I mean, God forbid, that it be, no longer was a golf course, then...
Yeah, then actually this section of code that's being proposed tonight wouldn't apply. Because it'd have to be golf course. Yep.
But right now, because it is golf course, and if it's approved under that condition, it would. And then what happens in the future, it would still be an approved. I mean, you can't move the houses that you could.
Yeah, I mean, once they're approved and built, it is what it is at that point.
They would lose 20 feet.
What is plan B on those lots if you can't move it?
Build a further plan.
We'd take it to the city council and they would override. No, I'm kidding.
Too soon, man.
Too soon, right.
Shoot your chair. No, I'm kidding. We have the same thing down in Santa Clara, so I've heard that before. We would build them where they were. We'd have to adjust those first two driveways, things like that. I think it's better for the whole project to move them back, I think, but yeah, if not, we would.
So I guess I just have a question for the kind gentleman that came up. Are you, do you run, you're just a concerned citizen, or do you
yes.
run,
no,
you
not.
Run the HOA? No, so where, just curious, where's your representative? You're the voice of the community?
I'm the HOA of the Lynx.
Okay.
I'm a resident for 12 years. I'm not objecting to this. I just wanted to point out so everyone knows what they're exactly what they're voting.
And it's a great clarification.
Yeah, that's all I wanted to do.
And
if they really need this, I can live with it. Because it doesn't affect my view or anything.
Sure.
It's just the Lynx is going to be there a long time. Hopefully the golf course will be there. We want the homestead to succeed. It just would be nice if we saw the plans on exactly what they're talking about. But we haven't seen any housing plans yet.
And that's because we've got to go through design, bring it back for the plat. We need to know what those elevations have to be as part of that. So there's kind of a process to this. We have met with the Lynx. Again, we're willing to do what needs. The Lynx HOA is in support of this, but also this isn't a do or die, but it does make it, it does improve the way those homes get built to be able to stagger. Again, we're not looking for a 10-foot setback all the way up, but those lower lots, because of the elevation, are somewhat problematic. They're staked out now, you can see where those are, but we're not looking to increase size. That was our agreement with the Lynx, that the build pads as shown. Paul and I spent some time on that to know exactly what those needed to be for a garage and that the house that we needed. So those don't increase. That's, we've agreed with that with the Links HOA and met. We postponed it from last month's meeting to give time for the Links to review that. And again, not that everybody's on board, but there are concerns on that. But I think overall, homes don't change. It's a fairly minimal ask, and that's the reason. So, but I don't think the HOA is here. Maybe they're online, but I don't know if they...
No, they're not online today. So.
I appreciate the feedback. I think I would just like to make a motion that we motion an approval for Berg Engineering, who's the agent for Midway Heritage Land Holding, and this requested amendment to Midway City Code Chapter 16.15.04.G.11.C.3. The proposed amendment is to reduce the setback to 10 feet for structures and resort master plans next to dedicated golf courses open space. I would also just put in as a condition for approval that if it's possible, it doesn't sound like we can, but I would just like to make a note in the motion that the size of the structures cannot be increased. And the other findings per stated as well.
I'll second that.
We have a recommendation of approval recommended by, motion by Andrew, second by Laura. Any further discussion? Is everyone voting?
So we have seven here, so all seven can vote.
Oh, and does Sue Ellen vote too?
I can vote.
5, 6, 7. Yeah,
oh,
seven
yeah,
can vote.
Seven. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Craig?
Con?
Janine?
Aye.
Travis?
Aye.
Andrew? Kelly?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, that motion carries. Thank you. Next item on the agenda, amended of the Midway City Code, Chapter 16, that will amend noticing requirements pertaining to newspapers, Section 16-22-040, General Requirements 16-26-0.010, Public Notice, and Section 16-26.040, notice regarding changes to zoning ordinance requirements will be modified as part of the proposed changes. That's what happens when you lose your newspaper.
Yeah, exactly. So we're seeking to overwhelm you with numbers tonight, code provisions. You have it exactly right. We meant to get to this a little bit ago. We lost the Wasatch Wave back in the summer. A lot of our notice provisions in our code require for publishing in a newspaper of local circulation, and we don't have that right now. So basically, we've gone through the sections of code. There are some code sections outside this, which you saw, but the only ones that really come before you are the ones that are in Chapter 16. So if we could just kind of quickly go through that, and we'll tell you a little bit about that. There's only one thing that's a little bit different than just reacting to the loss of the newspaper. Next one, if you would. So the first one is 16.22.040, general requirements for notice. And this is basically for purposes of this chapter, any special use request shall be pursuant to notification requirements outlined in Title 16, except the notice required shall include posting. Anything in red is what we're suggesting that we take out. So the notice would be posted in at least 3 public places within Midway City, which is typical of our notice, as well as on the Midway City website, and mailing the notice to all property owners within 600 feet. This originally said 1,000 feet, but our notice requirements elsewhere in the code are 600 feet, and it would make it easier for us if we could keep it consistent. So we are asking that it be changed to 600 instead of the 1,000 feet. And then basically getting rid of that last sentence at the end that says publish it in a newspaper of general circulation. Any questions on that one? Okay, next one, please. The next one is 16.26.010, public notice. This is our general noticing of the date, time, and place of all public hearings concerning the adoption or modification of a land use ordinance shall be posted in at least 3 places and on the city's official website. In addition, at least 10 calendar days before, mailed to each affected entity. Again, we would just be taking out the last sentence about the newspaper. Any questions on that one? This one, Michael, if you would, let's go to the two slides forward. This is 1626040. I'd like to get to the second section first because this is what we've been talking about. This is just getting rid of publishing in a newspaper of general circulation. So again, this is providing notice to real property owners of changes to zoning ordinances, and anyone who is directly affected by that zoning change still has to get notice in a letter. And that's by first class mail. So this is just kind of like the same change that we've just talked about. Now if we go back to section A, but there's also a section A of this chapter. And this is, since we're revisiting this chapter anyway, we're asking if we can take out section A because it basically duplicates other sections of code and state code. And it would just be easier, I think, as a general matter, Michael, you can correct me if I'm wrong, to just follow state code and our local code elsewhere to avoid there being inconsistencies or duplication. And this is a general requirement. These are public hearings to hear proposed changes to general plan provisions of land use requirements for any one or more of the following subjects. The city shall provide notice as required in this chapter. It starts going into when you need notice. If there's a 10% or more increase or decrease in the number of square feet or units that may be developed, a 10% or more increase or reduction in allowable height of a building. Next one, if you would.
So these items, if somebody ever proposed these types of items, like increasing the height of a building, that would be a code text amendment with a public hearing, those types of things. So there would be a public process for this.
Right.
It just takes away the redundancy.
Yeah, and actually, the notice that's allowed under our code text amendment, this is requiring much, I mean, it is duplicative, but it's also... It's sometimes like this, an increase or reduction in the allowed number of stories, which seems duplicative of the change of height like the one before.
We actually don't even have anything that says number of stories in the code. So what does that mean exactly? Yeah. So it doesn't, this is old code that has been around for a long time and doesn't always make sense, to be honest.
So that's basically it. So we're asking that A be deleted in totality, and that B become the section A. Actually, it just doesn't even become A because I think it's the only section.
Yeah, like 6 where it talks about rezoning, there's a specific process in our code and in state code. Everybody gets a letter if their property is proposed to be rezoned. Within 600 feet also needs to be noticed. So a lot of these are just, again, redundant. So
any questions on this? And this matter is also scheduled for a public hearing.
Questions or comments?
Is there any thought, now that there's no printed newspaper, to go to some sort of social media notification as well, or is that not something the city wants to be involved in?
Well, so one is to put it on our website, which isn't exactly social media, but it's on the web. If you start choosing a social media, which one do you choose? And if things change over time and that platform all of a sudden isn't popular any longer, somebody buys it who, I don't know, something happens. What do you do? And so it's tough to tie it down to one specific site. One thing that's consistent is our website. That's what we know for sure. It's also on the state website, which is constant. So those are the for sure things that we've got.
And it doesn't mean sometimes the city does put things out on social media, but it's nicer to have flexibility to do that by option than to have it required as a form of notice, because I'm not sure it rises to the form of notice that we typically see the cities rely upon, even though it probably reaches a broader audience. So it's a good tool, but I think we're more comfortable not having it as a requirement for notice.
It's probably premature to mention, you know, to ask if this would be something to consider, but there is going, and I think it has started, the Wasatch Record.
Yeah. Correct. That one will be a biweekly paper, so it won't be quite as convenient for notice, because oftentimes notice requires you have to do consecutive weeks, and this is going to be a biweekly paper.
But the all biweekly. The Wasatch Wave was every week, right?
Correct. Yeah.
So this will be every other week?
This would be every other week. It's what I understood from the article I read. Yeah.
So it's not like the Park Record, which is twice a week.
Correct. Is it twice a week?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No, it would be less frequent. I read it as... Oh, did it mean bi-weekly like twice a week, or did it mean every other week?
I'm questioning.
Okay, I read it to mean every other week, but maybe it meant twice a week.
You know,
and
like
I didn't even pick up that.
Right.
So
yeah. Good question.
We can look into
you
that.
You know, that may be an option. Yeah. We just don't have a newspaper at the moment.
We don't. No, I mean, Wasatch Way, you definitely have to delete that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another question I had.
Good question.
Sorry, I don't know about this, but when it says three public places, I was just curious, what tend to be the public places?
We can tell you what those are. We tend to put it in five public places. Yeah. So we put it in the town hall. We put it here in the community center in the window. We put it at the post office. We put it in both of the gas stations have publication boards. So those tend to be our
so
five.
So it's actually community center instead of the town hall.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant here.
Yeah.
Where we are now. Yeah. Community center, yes.
And offices. We put it in the offices, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Okay, I was just wondering, where do I go to look for that? To
exactly. Yeah.
Something. That's a hard one. It's a challenge.
It is hard,
because,
right? Yeah. You want people to know.
I know, but people aren't necessarily proactive of like, ooh, I wonder what's going on. I'm going to go to the website. You know, I wish I were more proactive.
Yeah.
So it's a challenge.
Yeah. But Camille is really good about keeping our website updated.
And then you can sign up for notifications, too.
Right.
Yes, there's an app
but
for that.
It takes people, you know, you have to...
Yeah.
Or sometimes if it lands in my living room, then I look at it.
I do refer to the website. I like the website.
I do, too, and I like the notifications.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah, it's helpful. Any other comments? Let's go ahead and open this up for a public hearing. Mr. Simons, any?
Our audience of one.
The Wasatch Record is published twice a week.
It is going to be twice a week. Awesome. Okay, thank you for that.
Anyone online, Michael?
There is online, but no hands, so.
Okay, let's go ahead and close the public hearing. Members of the Planning Commission? Pretty straightforward, I think. Someone willing to make a motion? Okay.
I make a motion that we recommend approval for the proposed code text amendment to Midway City Code Section 16.22.0.4 General Requirements, 16.26.010 Public Notice, and Section 16.26.040, Notice Regarding Changes to Zoning Ordinances, to reflect the fact that the local newspaper, the Wasatch Wave, is no longer in business, and that we include all of the possible findings by the staff as part of the motion.
The motion by Laura, is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion by Laura, second by Kelly. Any further discussion? Laura? Go.
Oh, aye.
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 Okay, that is unanimous. Now I get the last word. Today is my last meeting at the Planning Commission. I have appreciated my time here. It's been a pleasure and an honor to work with each of you. I think it's unfair to refer to Michael and Katie and Melissa as staff. You are truly professionals in everything that you do. And I appreciate your dedication to the city of Midway. So thank you. You're not getting rid of me. I'm just going to change seats. So thank you again for allowing me to be here and to serve on the Planning Commission for these last few years. And with that, Andrew?
I motion we adjourn. Dessert, let's go.
Okay, motion to adjourn by Andrew. Is there a second?
Second.
Janine, we are adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Andy.
Thank you, Andy.
Thank you.
I know.
Is that what happened? It was all here?
It was. 5 years ago, I had it. It looked like